Amen. 3 weeks we've been talking about choices. Amen. We're in a series. And this series is for the reason of us getting ready to, you know, be the best we can be in 2017. Make some resolutions that include the Lord being first in our life and what His plans are for us. We all face choices every day, every year. Usually these choices come in forms of resolutions, things that we want to do better and be better at. And so at the end of the day, there are a few choices that are critical in our life, and it's these choices that are critical in our life that we overlook at times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we know we should really give them some more attention. In this series, I have pointed out a few very important choices in life. In week one, we talked about the choice of getting closer to Jesus. Being closer to Jesus will help you, amen, know what the answers are in challenges of life. It's something about being close to Jesus that really works. Did you know the multitude, when they knew Jesus was going to be around, they wanted to be close to Him? Amen. But we want to go a little bit further than just being close to Him. The next choice that we talked about, which was last week, and if you missed this, you want to get online and get that and ask the Lord where you fit in that. And that is being a follower of Christ. Not just being closer to Jesus, but actually walking in His steps. How serious it is for us to miss this eternal opportunity to follow Him. Jesus is doing some things right now. He's busy. Amen. He's got work that's going on, and He needs you and I to be His hands, His feet, His mouthpiece. Amen. We had 10 people last week that were baptized, amen, in His name. They came dry, had no idea they were going to leave wet. Amen. That's the convicting presence of the Lord that's so real. So let's talk today about the third most important choice that we can make when it's resolution time, when it's a new year, or if it's just getting up in the morning and giving God the props He deserves. And that is the choice to discover, what on earth am I doing here in the first place? Why do I even exist? You and I need to make the choice to find out what our purpose is, what our vision for life is. Amen. This actually happened in Florida at a Greyhound park. Anybody ever been to a Greyhound park? I have watched videos. I've never been. I'd like to see the dogs run. But there's Greyhounds that actually chase this mechanical rabbit around the distance of a track, and them dogs know they can run. But this particular race, the mechanical rabbit took out, and man, they are right on it. It's like they gauged that mechanical rabbit just ahead of them, and all of a sudden that mechanical rabbit blew up, fur and springs and wires going everywhere. But those dogs had a purpose, and that was to catch that rabbit, but they couldn't catch something they couldn't figure out what happened to. And what happened was, one of those dogs got so disoriented when that happened that he run through the railing and broke his ribs. Another dog turned to the crowd and started barking at the crowd. The others just sat down and didn't do nothing, just looked around. This is a picture of the lives of most people. When you don't have something to go after, you'll hurt yourself, or you'll start barking at others, or you'll just sit down and not do anything. Right? Many are missing out on fulfillment in their life because simply they think that maybe God has let them down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God allowed this to happen to me, or God allowed this event in my life, and if God really loved me, He wouldn't have let that happen. Let me encourage you right now. This is needful. You're carrying pains you don't need to be carrying right now. You're carrying things in your heart that the Lord didn't intend for you to carry. And he wants to heal you from that today. It is not his purpose that you carry around down, being down and out, being frustrated. He didn't wire you to carry worry around and anxiety. God called you out of darkness into marvelous light to carry righteousness, which is, you got to know you're innocent to carry that. Not because we're good, but because he's good. And peace and joy in his spirit. You and I are designed to carry the kingdom of God and to let the kingdom of God flow out of us. Amen. So Satan is working overtime to steal the single most important commodity that you and I have, and that's vision, purpose. He does not want you to know your purpose. If you know your purpose, you will beat him up. Amen? And he does not want to be beat up. He's weak when it comes to how powerful you really are. And so we're here at New Life Fellowship all the time reminding you, amen, of your identity and who God says you are, because you're that powerful. Amen? Now, I've had a reason to get up every morning. And the reason I have now to get up every morning is I know what I'm on this earth for. I know it. And because I know it, it gives me fuel. It gives me empowerment and energy. God and his word are focused around vision and dreams. Amen. You're going to find God right in the middle of where you have faith in his plan for your life. Faith is what pleases God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, or the very literal voice of God speaking into your spirit. Amen. And so it's why we talk about our God-given identity around here every Sunday. Everyone should be serious today about making the choice to live your life on purpose. Amen. That should not be something that you brush off. It'd be something that you're very passionate about. Proverbs 29:18 said it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. They die. They run through wailing. They complain and bark at others. They just quit. If you don't have vision and purpose, your life is messed up. And how many of you have said at one time or another, I'm dying. I'm in survival mode. I have no reason to live. How many times has that spirit come and try to torment you to agree with it? You know, there's another version of this, Proverbs 29:18. The NIV says it this way: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. So if you don't know why you're on the planet, then nothing matters. Think about that for a minute. It doesn't matter if you go to church or not. It doesn't matter if you pay your bills or not. You know, when nothing matters, I don't care anyway. Whatever. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever felt like that? And when you feel like that and you repeat these kind of phrases, it's because you're not operating out of purpose. And we say we believe in Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? God designed us to have a dream. He designed us to have a revelation, a vision of life and what life is all about. You're designed to be in the mix, to be in the ebb and the flow of what God is doing, his very DNA. And so, do you have a vision? Do you have a dream or a revelation for life? The reason my vision is potentially, or this vision that I'm communicating with today, amen, and why we should all embrace this, the third highest choice you can make in life, is because when you define vision in your life, you bring meaning to everything else in your life. All of a sudden, the people you're around are not bad people no more. They do stupid stuff, but they're not bad people. All of a sudden, they're precious people. Because now you have purpose and you're now seeing what God is in love with, regardless of how flawed they are. Amen. You have purpose, and all of a sudden you can see what God sees. Vision helps us to know why we breathe the air, why we pay bills, why we wake up in the morning and raise kids, and amen, and why we exist. It's important. Three things that Vision for Life does for everybody. The first thing it does for us is it brings focus into our life. focus. When you're not focused, you say yes to everything and no to a very few things. The language of they becomes, you know, how are you? How's it going? Well, I've been busy. Why are you busy? And you're tired because you're doing everything, and the things that don't contribute to your purpose, you're doing them too. Has anybody ever been, you know, we call it monkey business. You know, School of Marv taught that. You know, have you ever been feeding other people's monkeys? Follow me. Taking care of somebody else's responsibility. Covering for someone else. You know, and you feel obligated to feed all these monkeys until all you're involved in is monkey business. You're just doing all kinds of things, but you're really not on point with your purpose, your design, and the call of God in your own life. And we get busy doing things that are not in our lane. When you have focus in your life, you know what to do and you know what not to do. That's what focus does for all of us. You have clarity of life. You have a clear mind. Did you know that the kingdom of hell, the enemy against your soul, has a plan for your life? McDonald's has a plan for your body. Hollywood has a plan for your family. Come on now. Telemarketers have a plan for your finances. Without focus, you can't help but get a little bit of it all. But when you're focused, come on now. The last group that done Financial Peace University, they got focused. They ain't got to have what they thought they had to have. Because Mr. Budget is absolute. And if you don't pay attention to him, he will spank you real good. Right? Get focused on why you exist. You're a powerful person. There's a lot of good things going on around our lives daily. But with vision, I know where I belong. With vision, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's awesome, isn't it? Vision gives me focus. But then, again, vision don't just give you focus. Vision, secondly, for your life will give you endurance. Several of you are here today and you're tired. And some of you might even be ready to give it up, you know, and I want to quit. Why keep doing what I'm doing? I'm trying to be the best person I can be. You've even thought, what's the use? You don't have any fuel left in the tank. Vision and fuel is the same thing. A life vision is key if you're going to endure in the world that you're living. It's very key. When you see a goal in view and you know where that goal is at, hey man, it will keep you going. If you know where the finish line is, you'll keep pressing. So what's your goal line? What is it? Is it in view? Can you see it? Every time that my wife gave birth, she had a goal inside. And I was so thankful for she wasn't like a lot of the ladies giving birth on the same maternity ward. Because some of those girls were making their husband and the doctor pay dearly for the pain they were in. My wife had a different vision. She actually saw, amen, the joy at the end of this thing. And she kept her eyes on the prize, and she was a champ. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Endurance, when you have a vision, it will cause you to go for the finish line. When you feel like giving up, it's because you've lost sight of the vision in life. Vision brings endurance in your life. And so today, if you have that feeling that's attacking you and it's kind of overshadowing you, you can dispel it before you leave today. You are special to the Lord. You don't have to carry that pain. But not only does vision give us focus and endurance, it gives us fulfillment. Many times we look for fulfillment in the wrong places, don't we? You know the reason I love my God-given job? Because I can't find it anywhere else. Hello? God has a plan for you, and you can't find it anywhere else. You go seek fame. You go seek position and money. It won't fulfill you. At the end of the day, when you seek your God-given purpose, that is what brings fulfillment. Amen? Nothing else satisfies. And so where does vision come from? Where does it come from? It's an important question for all of us today because, amen, some of you are wanting an answer to how I can embrace my vision. And in Psalms 139, 16, you find it comes from the one who has already written all the days ordained for me and you were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before you breathed your first breath, God had already written down your purpose. God had already scribed it in, what his plans for you. And God don't ever change. You see, God's the same yesterday, day, and forever. And his plan is the best plan. And going with his plan, you have the most fun, the most fulfillment. You see the greatest things happen. Amen? Some of you are thinking, well, he's not a very good author because my life is a mess. You know what I'm talking about? But you see, we add chapters to the book that God didn't write. And we blame it on him. Amen? I've done that more than I want to talk about. I got some chapters that are important for me to use as illustrations to encourage you. There's a better day, and your best days are before you. Amen? But what's awesome about God is the last chapter still fits in all of our lives. He has the ability to take everything that's bad in your life and turn it into good. Amen. He can take what you've been through and use it to encourage someone else and you to see the glory of God. And you get to know him, amen, in a way you couldn't ever know him any other way. So if you've been through something, you're going through something, get ready. God has a plan. Amen. And today is a good day to make up our minds that we're going to go with him, amen, on this wonderful journey he's designed for us. He's already written it down. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 1, the Message version says it this way. Ephesians 1 and 11. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone in Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. Can anybody agree with that? But with him, all things are possible. This is why I love my job. Amen. I can't find it anywhere else but in Christ. All of us must come to God and find out he's the one who made us. All of us have to go there. And many are trying hard. The problem is they're missing the target. Amen. When your aim is off, it's because your vision is off. Could we all agree with that? You know, there's an Olympics that happened in 2004 in Athens. Matthew Emmons was known as the best in the world at this particular rifle competition. And it goes this way, and some of you may remember it, that he was leading in such a way that all he had to do was just hit the target somewhere on the target, and he wins gold. And so he takes aim, and he fires, and he hits the bullseye on the wrong target. And instead of getting first place in gold, he gets eighth place and no medal, no trophy. It's never rewarding to hit the bullseye on the wrong target. And so the enemy knows this. And your enemy and my enemy is trying to get us to stay focused on something that's not our divine purpose every day. The thing about it is, you're so uniquely powerful and so given to God's DNA that you really know something's not right, and you kind of know I'm not really going after the right thing. You follow me? How many of us are aiming at the wrong target? And we've just kind of resolved that that's just the way it is, and it's not going to be another way. I've been dealt this hand, and I have no choice. Who told you that? Right where you are in this dilemma that you think that you're in, as the Lord would say to David, if you make your bed in hell, I'm right there. Wherever you let your mind go and you come up with this idea that this is where I'm at and I have no choice, the Lord says, I'm right there just waiting on you to ask, seek, and knock. And the moment he sees us with humility and the broken spirit, while we're walking downtrodden in our spirit, he's running to us, giving us this great big hug, letting us know the seat that he's always had for us is still waiting on us. Can God do that for you? God can do anything. Your dilemma is nothing to him. It's an opportunity for him to show you how much he cares, how much he loves you. Amen. Find out what God's purpose is for your life, and you can focus on the right target at that point. And I promise you, it's rewarding, it's fulfilling, it's fun, it's everything to do so. Amen. And so that's what we're doing here at New Life Fellowship, is challenging every opportunity that we get, amen, for you to refocus on you being who God called you to be, living in your identity so that you can experience fulfillment. Amen. Now, it's time that we make the choice to find our purpose now. Tomorrow's not the day to do it. Have y'all ever figured out tomorrow never gets here? That every time we arrive at what we think is tomorrow, it's now. It's today. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation, right? God designed you to make a decision now. And every passing tick on the clock, it's now. And wow, what mercy that God has extended to you, that every morning his mercies are new and fresh. And he's just waiting on us to just, you know, say, you know, I'm tired of being tired. I need help, Daddy. I was wondering when you was going to ask. I can just hear him saying that to you. Because, and somebody's saying, well, I've been asking. Come on. Come with your whole heart. Don't just give him a portion. Don't make a deal with God. Give him it. Give it up. Give up. Open up your spirit. Let his spirit touch your spirit. We have something bigger than our problems in view. The problems don't get much attention anymore. Why is that? Because we're living for something important. Let's look at this a little bit deeper in Ephesians 5 and 8. It says here, Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus. And he says here, for you were once darkness. Now he said, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord as a believer. Live as children of light. What's he saying here? Make your life about putting light in your life. Light up your life. And somebody said, man, how do you do that? And the answer to this is really the key. Let's keep reading. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Come on, when you put on the light, you can find out what pleases him. What is it that pleases him? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Everybody has or has had some darkness in their life. And what we need to do is this, but rather expose the darkness. Now, what does darkness equal, Pastor? Well, just anything that's not truth. Anything that's not what God's saying. Because we've all said something that God didn't say. That's darkness. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light, or is light, that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. What's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Those that have no direction. They have no vision. They have no purpose. They're sleeping. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're here thinking God's looking for you to perform, he's not. He's asking you to do something, but that something has to do with how you fellowship with him. Come on. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. What opportunity is he talking about? Every time the second hand moves, take advantage of it. because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is it? Don't get drunk on wine and that leads to debauchery. What's debauchery? It's emotions and feelings that work in you that make you make decisions based out of lust or pride. You get drunk on feeding you emotionally. And I'm going to just tell you, when your emotions are out of whack, you'll think it's God. You'll say stuff that God ain't ever said, and you think God actually said it. And you're so emotional based on your personal lust or pride. But then they notice what he says, instead, this is the will of God, be filled with the Spirit. Wow. How do you put on light? Be filled with the Spirit. How do you deal with darkness? Be filled with the Spirit. How do you get your purpose? Be filled with the Spirit. It's praying in the Spirit, amen, that causes you to know what you can't know any other way. It's in the Spirit, amen, that you can see the handiwork and fingerprint of God. If you're not in the Spirit, you will miss it. You will become religious. Your emotions will take over, amen. And the enemy, through emotions that work in us, he'll make you think it's God, and it's never been God. So why does Jesus baptize us? Why does he baptize his followers with his Spirit and fire? Why does he do that? John the Baptist said it this way in the Message version. You'll like this in Matthew 3:11. He ignites the kingdom life within us. Come on. A fire within you. Come on. That's how you put the light on, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. He's going to make a clean sweep of your lives. What's he doing? He's establishing purpose. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he will put out with the trash to be burned. What's he saying here? Anything that's a lie in your spirit, he takes it and burns it. And he invests his truth in you. Amen. Come on. When he fills you with his spirit begins to talk to you and validate your identity. It gives you direction. It gives you vision. His spirit gives you purpose. I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Anybody read that with me today? So what does this mean? What does this mean? We just read some powerful verses here. Paul stirs up three questions that I'm going to close on here in the next few minutes. Ephesians 5, he gives us three questions. Question number one, what am I doing that I should not be doing? This has nothing to do with performance, does it? What am I doing, though, that I should not be doing? The real question is, all of us have things in our life that we know we should be doing that we're not doing. Do you ever get up in the morning and, man, I need to pray, but I'm busy? You should have prayed, but you didn't do it. Is anybody getting this? Some of us know that we're living a life that we were never intended to live. Some of us actually have given up and thrown in the towel. Today is our opportunity to expose the deeds of darkness with a fresh start. Amen. For 2017. To be a spirit-led person. And I need to start today getting ready for 2017. I'm not talking about taking that junk that the enemy's throwing in your life. I'm not going to take that junk anymore. And this next year that, amen, that God has given me to live on purpose. Paul encourages not to hide the deeds of darkness. Oh, and the only way that I cannot hide the deeds of darkness, ladies and gentlemen, I got to find my war room. I got to find that place where me and him meet. The only way I can deal with darkness is I need Jesus. The only way I can deal with darkness is I need to be filled with the Spirit and not with wine. Amen? I need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that debauchery don't have its way in my life. My emotions do not lead me around. Amen. And so, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Get out of the world's junk. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that saying? Be filled with the Spirit, what he's talking about. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Break ties with harmful relationships, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in a relationship that's not helping you but pulling you down, break ties from that. What fellowship does light have with darkness? You don't have to allow the internet to pull you back into that issue or that problem or that screen. Amen. My senses aren't going to lead me around any longer. Pastor, what if this is my plan for 2017? You're going to find your purpose hiding behind all that junk you've been letting stay in your life. When you deal with the junk by bringing you and all of it to God, you will find your purpose on the other side of it. Amen. Question number two, quickly. What am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? And God wants to give us opportunities, right? He wants to give us light. So we're positioned around here to make sure we give you as many opportunities possible, amen, to be a part of what the kingdom of God is doing. Meaning, purpose, amen. And some of you need to give your life to Jesus first and foremost so that you can be effective as a life changer. Is that okay? For you to really live in purpose, you must be totally saturated and your cup running over with the Spirit. James 4:17, anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. When I know what I should be doing and I refuse to do it, sins. Amen. When Adam knew that he should be walking with the voice of God in the garden and he chose not to do it, he got naked. He got in trouble, right? That means when I say it like this, ladies, you don't need me to tell you what to do or what you're not doing. You already know that. You don't even need me to tell you what you shouldn't be doing. You already know that. Every one of you have a spirit man. You don't need a holy Dwayne around telling you what to do and what not to do. You already have the Holy Spirit prompting your spirit on what to do and what not to do. So don't you think it's time that for things to change in your life? To find purpose and objective? Amen. I'm going to encourage you again. Don't let the enemy steal away the opportunity to join with New Life Fellowship for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Tell the enemy, come on, don't let your emotions rule you. Set the clock for 5:00. If you're not here, you can get on the live stream and you can spend some time in prayer. Amen. If you don't know how to pray, you can sit there and soak and let God talk to you about how to move into a spirit of prayer and fellowship with him. Is this okay? Be the church. Don't be satisfied with just going to church. Be the church. Be who you're designed. You have purpose. Not doing what I should be doing and doing what I shouldn't be doing is my life until I get God's purpose in my spirit. Our next semester, a small group starts at the latter part of January. Amen? And God wants everybody to go to small groups. It's his plan. It's the way he does stuff. As a matter of fact, there's some of you that need to lead small groups. And you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't know about me. I'm messed up. Did you know it's messed up people that help messed up people? If the messed up people in the small group are really not interested in hearing that perfect person, they're looking for somebody that's been messed up that can help them get out of their mess. And by the way, amen, me and my wife, every one of us have a need to be depended on. It's something that when you know someone else is depending on you, it drives you. It gives you endurance. Amen. Otherwise, me and my wife would fuss more. But because of you, amen, and you depending on me not to fuss and fight and bicker and complain, amen, it kept me focused on purpose. And I'm just convinced that maybe you like me going home to my own wife. Maybe. No, you depend on me to stay focused. You depend on me, amen, as a pastor to serve you in the capacity, amen, of pressing for the prize. And some of you are not leading and stepping into your purpose because you see yourself from a messed up, skewed lens. And I'm just going to tell you, you start leading a small group and you will pray more. You lead a small group and you'll hear the cars pulling up at your driveway and the door shut, and you'll be telling mama, okay, it's time to stop that fuss. Come over here. We need to kiss and make up right now. Come, I know y'all laughing to keep from crying. But the fact is, come on. We need to be connected to people. We need God in our life, and God's into people. He's into the harvest, and He's called us to come follow Him. Yeah, we've got baggage, but He can take care of it if we learn how to trust in the Lord and not in your own strength. Amen. Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Come on. Hey, man, you may be my small group's going to be messed up tonight. Man, I'm so out of whack. Hey, man, when the time comes and people show up, He loves them so much so that He'll still work and He'll still touch lives. Amen. Just allow me to be involved in your life. Allow New Life Fellowship leadership here to get involved in your life for a year. Get involved. Go through Growth Track. Get into a small group. Discover, amen, who you are and your gifting. Become a life changer. Go through 21 days of prayer and fasting. You do that and your life will change. Which brings me to the last question. Why not do it today? Don't wait till next week. After Christmas. Or the next semester. I liked that music. It was good. It was awesome. Begin today. Why? You know why? Because we over-exaggerate yesterday. And we overestimate tomorrow. How do we do this? Because we underappreciate the very moment we're in. Guys, girls, come on, we're kids in the kingdom. You're living in a moment here that's a God moment. And He gave it to you as a gift. And you've got His attention more than He has yours. Come on, Pastor. Why are you at me? I'm not. Hey, look, the Spirit's letting you know you're the apple of His eye. He's not the apple of ours, and He should be. But we're the apple of His. And you have His attention. And He will wait and give more mercy and more compassion. And He will wait until we decide, now I'm going to decide what my purpose is. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. God has never loved you more, cared for you more, been more willing to give you a fresh start than now. He's never been more excited about His plan for your life than right now. And I'd like to just, for the next few moments, pray for you. And you agree today that God's going to help you get your purpose. That you don't have to wait another year and try to work some things out and get yourself right and get yourself perfected so that you can actually walk with God. God wants you to come just as you are with all the things that the enemy's convinced you that you own. You don't own, He owns them. And give it up. He wants to give you purpose today. Father, I thank You for such an opportunity, God, to stand in behalf and represent You, to be Your mouthpiece, to be Your hands and feet. And Lord, this very word is working in my spirit. And I know if You're working on me, You're reaching to others. Thank You, Lord, for giving them a big hug right now in Their presence. And we felt that hug already, Lord. But from this day forth, with open hearts, everybody in this room wants to go with you and trust you with their divine purpose and identity. Release them from the pain that they've been carrying because of failure and frustration and storms in their life. Release them from the burden, Lord. Let them know that they can lay that burden at your feet and leave it right there. Square up and follow your spirit into their divine purpose from this day forth, Lord. Thank you for peace in their life right now. Give them a knowing that you have this, Daddy. And everybody said amen. Could you stand?